Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Wake up, Baton Rouge. This is Catholic Community Radio. We're so glad that you joined us today on this wonderful Tuesday morning. It is a little foggy outside. Be careful. There's fog advisory till 8 o'clock. Make sure you have your headlights on when you drive. Make sure you turn them off when you get to work. So
it looks like it's lifted up a little bit,
still
be careful out there.
You know, absolutely.
It's still a real foggy day out there.
So, no doubt about it. Just be a little careful.
Let's remind everybody of Retrovi this weekend. I know,
yes.
You know, we keep saying it, but it's just so important. It's that important to us. We have a lot of hurting families out there, and you know them. You know a couple that's hurting, or you may be a couple that's hurting, and this is just to let you know there is help and there is hope. There is Retrovi this weekend. Jody, what's that number?
The phone number is 261-1901. That is area code 225-261-1901. Or you can go to helpourmarriage.com. That's www.helpourmarriage.com. There are still spaces available. It will be held in Baton Rouge at the Catholic Life Center beginning Friday. And it is a wonderful program. And if you know anyone that's struggling with their marriage, or if you're struggling with your marriage, call 261-1901 and sign up today.
There's a lot of hurting people out there, and this is hope.
Absolutely. So. And I want to remind everybody once again that Mass today will be at 11 a.m. on the radio instead of 12. But there will be 12 o'clock Mass at Our Lady of Mercy. We don't want you to think they're not going to have mercy. It's just that we can't carry it because it's going to be at the PAC Center. So we'll carry the EWTN Mass at 11 instead of having our usual 12. And on Sunday, we'll have Mass at the regular time from Our Lady of Mercy at 10:30. We'll keep reminding you of this schedule change.
Yep, you did
until
well,
it goes back to the normal.
We'll get back to normal soon, whatever normal that is for whatever normal is, sure.
Absolutely, so. No doubt wonderful. About it. We are joined today by a great guest, author, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle joins us via telephone,
yeah.
and she's got a wonderful book out about
it's called Mother Teresa and Me.
Delightful. 10 years of friendship. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Fine, thanks. How are you guys in Baton Rouge?
We are great. Thank you for joining us.
Now, where
today.
Are you? Where are you right now?
I'm in Connecticut.
Oh, you're in Connecticut. Okay.
Yes. So rainy on a rainy day here.
Okay.
Well,
right.
And yesterday, but today is all dreary.
Well, we're dreary mostly because of fog.
Yeah,
okay.
But
we'll try to lighten things up for everyone.
There you
absolutely,
go.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're just so glad that you joined us today. Now, tell us a little bit about the book and about your how you came to write it, and then we'll get to the meat of it. How's that?
Sure, that's fine. Well, the book is called Mother Teresa and Me: 10 Years of Friendship, and I didn't plan to really write necessarily about my friendship with Mother Teresa. That's the publisher, you know, picks the title and mm-hmm. and thinks that would be appealing to people and they'd be interested in reading it. I sought out to just write about Mother Teresa, you know, wanting to be humble and, you know, the good Catholic humility. But, you know, God was prodding at me to, you know, tell the whole story, and people had encouraged me. I even have that in the acknowledgments of someone in particular who said, you know, tell the whole story. The world needs it.
So, I think so, yes.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. So as it unfolded, as I wrote it, you know, it had to involve me too because, you know, I met her and I wanted to share those blessings with everyone because those were blessings that I felt weren't just for me and my family. They were for everyone. So I kept them very quiet for a while as I was raising my family because you couldn't exactly go around saying, you know, hey, I know Mother Teresa.
Yeah, that's
right.
Well, you know, so I just thought, if, you know, some priest friends of ours knew and some family members, but I just continued putting one foot in front of the other each day, walking in faith, trying to, you know, raise my children the best I could in a darkened world,
yep.
You know. So I always seized the opportunities, too, to rub elbows with holiness, per se, you know, whenever I had the opportunity to see Mother Teresa again, well, I should back up and say how I met her, but
mm-hmm.
I met her in Washington, D.C. I didn't have to go to Calcutta to go meet this amazing saint, and I recount the whole story in my book, the details of, you know, seeing her for the first time, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the children with me, and how she was drawn to me because of the children, and I'll pause.
I remember that story. Yeah. They were in church, and I believe it was your little girl who was singing?
Yes, she wasn't really singing.
Well, you know, how old was she?
She was under two.
Yeah, well.
Jessica. She was just, you know, making little noises because the missionaries of charity live a very austere life of poverty. They've taken on that vow of poverty, so everything is, they live exactly like the poor. So mm-hmm. They don't have air conditioning or fans or heat and, you know, things that are creature comforts, things we're used to.
Right.
So it was a hot little chapel. It was a hot summer day, and she was restless. She was a little girl. It's early in the morning. She wanted to run around, so I would have to tiptoe in and out of a chapel with her so as not to disturb everyone and tiptoe back in.
Right.
And so after the Mass, first Mother Teresa went over to, well, my daughter Shaldea was about six at the time, and she genuflected in front of the Blessed Sacrament after Mass when we were leaving the chapel, and a nun came running over and hugged her, and I thought, that's so sweet that, you know, they're hugging her because she was genuflecting. And I look and I see it's Mother Teresa hugging her daughter. And so then she went away into a different room and, you know, met with her sisters for a couple of minutes and came back out, and she came directly toward me and said, is this the baby that was singing at Mass? And I thought that was so nice that she
said singing.
He was singing rather than making all
that
noise.
Right.
But he wasn't making a lot of noise. I was bringing her out, but still, that was very special that Mother Teresa said that about her. And then that's where it began. That's where the conversation started, right then and there.
Well, Donna Marie, this is Johnny. There's a picture in the book with your Mother Teresa and your daughter Jessica.
Yes.
It was really striking. Give us the background of that.
Okay, there are a couple. Is this the one where they're holding hands?
She's staring. Yeah, they're looking at
each other.
Oh,
she's staring up into her face.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, the only way we got that photo, a lot of people don't know this, I've never mentioned this before, it's in the book now, but was because this woman there who was a coworker just happened to have her camera. I mean, when you were around Mother Teresa, you didn't just whip out a camera and start taking pictures.
No.
Especially because you knew you were in the presence of a saint, number one, and number two, I knew that she didn't like having a picture taken.
Right.
But then again, she made a deal with God that every picture that was taken, a soul would be released from purgatory. So,
she did good.
Yeah, so we didn't even have a camera with us because we didn't know we were going to meet Mother Teresa. That's all in the book. We had no idea she was even there. So,
right.
I mean, if we get into that, we will. But the way that happened with Jessica, she was in my arms, so she wouldn't get into trouble. Mother Teresa approached and talked to us. And then after a while of a little squirming in my arms, you know, I set her down, and Mother Teresa was then a couple of steps, you know, a few steps away and, you know, talking to the group of us. And then she looked at Jessica and just stretched out her arms, and Jessica went running toward her, this little shy, you know, someone who wasn't going to run up to a stranger, especially dressed in, you know, funny clothes.
Right.
To a little girl.
That's
you know,
true.
She's not used to seeing the Indian sari.
Yeah.
So here she felt so comfortable with this living saint that she gravitated right toward her, ran toward her, and they held hands. And then Jessica looked straight into her eyes. Mother Teresa looked straight into her eyes, and it was a moment that just caused a hush to come over the crowd. You know, it wasn't a crowd, but the nuns that
the
were
group.
In the room and a couple of co-workers. And so it was just really a remarkable moment that just lasted for a while. And that Mother Teresa, you know, whispered, you know, she may be a missionary of charity nun one day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, it just kind of sent chills up my spine.
Wow. I bet it did.
Wow. Now, is this when the miraculous metal kind of link started, because I understand there's a link between the miraculous and all your children, it seems like.
Right.
Yes. Well, see, she gave us each a miraculous medal that she kissed and gave to each of us, and each time I saw her, I would get another one, so I had extras that I can give people. And then later on, she gave me one during a precarious pregnancy, but she had this practice of giving out these blessed medals, and somehow or other I felt our Blessed Mother and our Lord prodding at me to continue in that tradition. So ever since I started writing books and I was out there in the public eye with book signings and events and all that, I've given out thousands and thousands of medals all over the place, and some of them I've been able to put on Pope John Paul II's tomb and Mother Teresa's bed at the convent where she stayed in Rome, and I'll usually touch them to the medal that she gave me that I wear all the time.
Wow.
So I just I feel that, you know, the miraculous medal is quite miraculous, and I write about it in this book.
Oh, indeed.
Now, we're coming up to a break in a minute, but after this visit, this is when the letter writing started, and this is just fascinating. Maybe as we're leading up to the break, you came to even start writing letters to Mother, and lo and behold, she started to respond.
There you go. Let's catch that.
Wow.
Around the bend there when we come back, huh?
Sure.
Okay.
This is Wake Up Baton Rouge on Catholic Community Radio. We'll be right back after a short break. Stay with us. We're talking to Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle about her time with Mother Teresa. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Wake Up Baton Rouge. This is Catholic Community Radio. We're so glad that you joined us on this wonderful Tuesday. If you are in need of prayer for anything, if even, you know, prayers of gratitude, or if you're hurting in any way, we have a prayer force. It's prayers, faith communities.
A lot of prayer requests we get are for other people. That's beautiful, too.
I love that.
Yeah. They're praying for friends, praying for your family, whatever. That's why they're there. So, they're the ones that got us on the air, and they're still there. So we said, hey, would you pray for other folks, too? They said, sure. So call this number. We're going to pass it on to them, 341-2720. Or if you live outside the area, like Connecticut, 225-341-2720. You can call, and your intentions will be prayed for.
Amen. We're going to rejoin our guest, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, a widely published author. She's a popular speaker. You've probably seen her on EWTN. Her books include A Catholic Woman's Book of Prayers, Catholic Prayer Book for Mothers, and Catholic Saints Prayer Book. And we're now talking about the latest book, Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship. Welcome back, Donna.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed that book.
Yes,
that
I really did. I did, too. Donna, I started reading this, Johnny. I started reading it last night, and it was... what drew me in was the experience that you had in terms of drawing you into a life of holiness, simplicity, and union with the poor. But at the break, we were at the point where you took upon the call to start writing to Mother Teresa, and this started a friendship. Tell us how that got launched and how it how it affected your family.
Sure. Well, when I first met her in Washington, D.C., I wasn't expecting to meet her, and she walked into the Mass where we were, and all of that holiness that surrounded us and the blessings I told you about being in her presence and receiving the medals and her speaking to my family just really, really just had a profound effect on my heart. I already admired her and loved her, but then to be in her presence was unbelievable. And to have that experience, the way she touched our family. So when we were going back to Connecticut, you know, it's about 7 hours of drive, you know, I was really quiet and praying and jotting down a few notes. And the thought kept coming to me, boy, I should send her like a thank you note, you know, for spending that time and giving us the medals. But as soon as I thought of doing that, I said to myself, no, this is the woman who is, you know, doing all this amazing work all around the world, and you're not going to want to take up any more of her time. But that thought just continued and continued. Mm-hmm. So finally, after a couple of days being home, I called the Mother Superior of that convent because I was really troubled by it. I really felt I should, but I kept telling myself, no, 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 no. Just don't get in the way. She's got all this important
work. Right. You figure she's way too busy. You know?
Right.
Exactly. And it's a good thing right now at this moment, I'm thinking it's a good thing. You know, I just didn't let that thought pass me by. I just went ahead and tried to discern it by going to, you know, the Mother Superior herself and asked what she thought. And first thing out of my mouth was, yes, Donna Marie, you should. Here's her address. And I said, oh, are you sure? Still questioning her.
Sort of like she has an address.
And so I took that as a prophetic that, this is what God would want me to do. So I felt very peaceful about it at that point, and I wrote to her. And a few weeks later, I got the first letter back. It would be the first of 22 letters she would send me over the next, almost 10 years. And
wow.
It was amazing to get each letter and to know that she took the time to write these letters to me, a suburban housewife. And it was important to her because she saw Jesus within every one.
Right.
One of the most beautiful things about her is it's just like one by one by one, all of the people that she ministered to, she didn't go out to do the masses of people, even though it was, all of the poorest of the poor she wanted to reach. It was each person individually on their own level, wherever they were at, spiritually, emotionally, physically, she saw Jesus within each one because she lived that gospel of Matthew, whatever you do, the least of my brothers you do to me. And so that's where she met me, where I was, as a mother raising children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mother and a wife. And so that's how it started, and that's, I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, because it wouldn't seem on the surface that an American housewife, mother, would have a whole lot in common with Mother Teresa, at least on the surface. But through this experience and this letter writing and the sharing, what did you actually come to find out that you did have in common?
Well, that same desire for holiness, the same part of the same church, part of being in that same body of Christ.
Right.
The love for the poor, which I already loved, and brought my children to nursing homes and hospitals to bring some cheer to people who might be lonely. And she just accentuated everything in my life. She just really blessed me so much with her love for Jesus on the cross, the desire she had to satiate his thirst for love of souls. And I, had that same within me, and it just increased. And in my humble little ways, of just reaching out to the people around me and my family and my community, and then the reach was broadened as our Lord saw fit. Eventually, the blessings had to be shared, and I couldn't keep them all to myself. And so I started to write about, the holiness in motherhood and in our domestic churches. And I would send my manuscripts to Mother Teresa, and she would have her spiritual director go over them, and she'd say, get this out there. Mothers need this. Women need this.
Yeah.
Families need
wow.
this. There's so much that went on real quietly behind the scenes, just very quietly, and it was just amazing. And I never stopped to, wonder or guess or, why is this happening? I just accepted the blessings God had put Father John Hardin in my life before I met Mother Teresa. He was my spiritual director, famous Jesuit who's up for his cause is being investigated now for canonization.
Right.
Beatification first, of course, but he was a living saint too, and God put him in our lives as well. So all of these blessings, you can't just hide them under a basket. You have to get out there and share them. And amazing things have happened throughout the years.
In fact, you were even called to participate and go to Harlem and to spend time there with the sisters there. Tell us about that experience in terms of spiritually, your prayer, the prayer life that you experienced, and the you talk a good bit about that saying, I thirst, which was so powerful for you.
Yes.
Share that.
Well, one time I spent a long weekend in Harlem. I was I had three children, and I was pregnant for my son Joseph. I didn't know it at the time, and I never usually left my family for a retreat when the kids were young, but this was a wonderful opportunity, and the kids would be fine. They were all taken care of, and I had Father Hardin was going to give the sisters a beautiful retreat that weekend, and he, said I should go too. And so I not only was able to partake in the retreat, and I was able to be with the sisters and part of their prayer, their daily prayer, was part of that, and attend the masses, and then work in their soup kitchen as well. And that meant that I would be, they offered me a bed in their, in the woman's shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, in a shelter with women from that area. And at that time, this was like 25 years ago or 24 years ago or something. And it was pretty rough, very rough at that time in Harlem, New York.
Yeah.
It was a very, very scary place to be. But the convents were always in scary places because that's the poor.
That's where they belong.
That's where the need was,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The poor, the suffering.
Yes. And it was quite amazing to be part of serving these people that were in gangs.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
That's all right.
And, you know, in the same place, you know, eating at the same table. And there were sworn enemies, and to see how that was all handled with just with prayer.
Yes.
And it was an unforgettable experience.
Wow.
You know, just preparing the food and serving the people and being with the sisters, it was amazing.
Yeah, because one of the things you really stress so strongly in this book is about, we tend to look at the Mother Teresa's and say, well, we can't be a saint. But in your book, you really call us out how we are all called to be saints, and that to see the poor and suffering in our midst. How did that come to you, you know, in terms of this experience with Mother Teresa and how it continues to affect your life?
Well, yes, I think one of the most important lessons she teaches us is that Calcutta is all over the world for those who have eyes to see. So it's not, I never had to run off to Calcutta, although I would have wanted to, but God wanted me to stay. I mean, of course, I want to do what he wants me to do, but that desire was there, but it was, no, you're to take care of your children, you're to raise your children, and this is where I need you.
Right.
We all have our own Calcuttas. Whether
that's true. That's right.
Yes, whether it be some difficulty in the family or in your community or in your neighborhood, and if we're running off taking care of the Calcutta over in India, we're not going to be taking care of the Calcutta right in our own home.
Oh,
amen. Well,
wow.
Donna, thank you so much. Thank you so much
for
joining us today.
Can we have you back? We hadn't even touched what we wanted to talk
about.
We
barely got into the life.
Join you again. Sure.
We'll have you back. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, the name of the book is Mother Teresa and Me, 10 Years of Friendship, from our Sunday visitor, www.osv.com. You can get the book.
Or my website or your Catholic bookstore, too.
There you
all over the place, and we'll continue to promote it. You pray for us. We'll pray for you. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day.
God bless.
Catholic Community Radio.
Catholic radio for your community.
Is listener supported.
1380
WPYR Baton Rouge.
This is your station.
Catholic radio for your community.